Imagine.
Yeah, I don't know if I said to myself, I'm not gonna eat cheese. I've been eating cheese since the 1st of January. So everything is sporadic. Like one week I'll be super great and I'll run 6Ks the whole week. And then the next week I'm just eating the whole week.
Welcome back to the morning news.
Good afternoon and welcome back to The Morning Muse, your number one weekly interview podcast. Thank you for listening and sharing. We have such a special episode for you today. We're joined by award-winning R&B pop artist, Shekinah. How are you doing?
Hi, happy new year. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm speaking to Shekinah, so that sounds like an absolutely great day. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. It means so much to us.
Thank you so much for having me. And I'm sorry I changed the time. And I'm sorry I was late, and that's just a great representation of who I am. I'm like all over the show, but I'm here.
It's completely okay. My life is also just a mess, but it's a new year to change that. And how has this year been going for you?
Honestly, so far, so good. I don't know, like I keep telling all my friends, I'm like, I'm just so peaceful. Like it's weird. You know, when you're used to drama and chaos and yeah. 2021 ended off really peacefully and the year began very peacefully. So I'm really chilled, honestly. Speaking.
Do you think there's been a lot of chaos that's happened throughout the course of your career that's obviously helped you become who you are now?
100%. So much chaos, so busy, so much drama. And I don't mean drama in like a negative connotation, but like just so many things that are happening and things that are going wrong. And I think I've really learned to do what I can and really redefine like my way of thinking. Like I'm not on anyone else's timeline but my own. I work for myself and for God. So it's just like there's no rush. I still have a lot of stuff that's not done, but like for some reason I'm not letting it get to me.
That's so interesting, and I really love that for you. Do you think there's any sense of order in all of this mayhem? Do you believe in goal setting and setting resolutions?
Definitely believe in it. Whether I follow through is like another thing. Yeah, I don't know if I'll follow through. Like I said to myself, I'm not gonna eat cheese. I've been eating cheese since the 1st of January. Like I don't know.
Why don't you want to eat cheese?
I don't know, because like dairy is just like, yeah, I just want dairy out of my life, but like I'm struggling. But also like with resolutions, it's just I don't like pressure. And also I'm that person, like if it's like don't push the button, then I push the button. So like it's best for me to just like go in it with no expectations, but also to be intentional. So I guess like having goals and dreams that I aspire towards and just trying to make them happen, but without making it like a resolution, like I must reach 120,000 streams a week, or you know, there's no like pressure like that per se.
Would you like to share any of the goals you have this year with your fans?
Jeez Louise. My main goal for 2022 is to be happy. That's that, honestly speaking. Obviously, there's things that I want to achieve. Coming out of the past 2 years, I just want this year to be a happy year. And another thing that I said this morning to somebody that I was with was that I want like this to be a year of like abundance. I feel like the past 2 years have been a year of living without and like going without and making do. And I really feel like I've proved that I can do with less. But this year, I think for everyone around me, for you, for your podcast, for my career, for everyone, I just want more for everyone. Yeah. So between wanting more and being happy, that's what I want.
I really love your view on wanting more for everyone. And in such a tough and opinionated industry, do you think it's easy for an artist to lose their sense of happiness with worrying about all of these analytics?
Yes, definitely. Your perception of happiness like becomes something that it's not. You know what I mean? I feel like in this very opinionated industry, your happiness can be defined by the wrong things. So this year, like, I just want to be happy. I really just want to be in that space where everything is funny, when you just laugh at everything. And at the same time, I think that also comes with a level of being intentional and being organized. The only person that can truly make yourself happy is you. So I think for me, that comes with doing the things that I say I'm going to do and setting myself up to them. Obviously, the cheese thing, I mean, we'll try again in February. There's so many other things that I'm like, okay, I know how to make myself happy. And if I can achieve these things, they are on my standard and my level and not everyone else's. I mean, I could go on forever, so I'm just going to keep quiet now.
Being intentional is so important. I think just also knowing what an industry encompasses beforehand. And I'm really intrigued by the stage in your life when you realized that you wanted to pursue music full time. May you tell us a bit about that?
Music always came to me in the sense that it was the only thing on my path. Like, I really wasn't good at anything else, to be honest with you. But I feel like it was what I was meant to do. I didn't realize that it was going to be a full-time job.
Yeah,
I didn't think of it as a full-time job.
There's absolutely no way that you weren't good at anything else. Did you play sport? Were you an
did
academic?
I play sport? Yes, I did play sport, and I came like second to last every year at everything.
Maybe if you continued working towards it, you would have done better.
100%. I could have done better.
Something pretty big that I personally didn't know about you is that you auditioned for Idols twice. Were you ever nervous about performing on such a big stage?
I think Idols was like really what inspired me and motivated me and drove me to wanting to make it a career. Idols is really cool in the way that the format that you don't see on TV is that the entire week is made up of preparing for the show, creating the brand. So you'd find out on Sunday if you made it through. Monday morning, you would go do an interview, choose your songs that you would sing next week. I think Tuesday you had songwriting. Wednesday you had rehearsal on stage. Thursday you had this and that. And that's how my life ended up being. That is exactly how my life ended up being. Got to the point where there was rehearsal for the shows on the weekend. We're writing songs in studio, or I'm going to vocal training. And I realized that it doesn't just end at the nice, pretty song and at the pretty music video. There's so much work that has to go in daily. So I think if I didn't do Idols, I wouldn't have realized that this is how I want to live day to day. And I think sometimes you might not think of it as like a full-time job or like a full weeks of work, because you're not getting paid to go to training. You're paying for training, or you're not getting paid to go to studio. You're paying for studio. It ends up being a full-time job. If you're intentional, like we said earlier, not that word again, you can fill up your week by being a musician, or I'm even being a blogger, or even having a podcast. Like, if you spend time prepping and getting ready and branching out. So that's really what Idols was for me. I don't think I would have known what I wanted to do or how it could have been done if I didn't do the show. And I think I have the worst stage fright in the world, and it just has never ended since then till now. But I still continue to get on stage because I love it. But I was always definitely scared.
You're such a genuine and nice person to speak to. Do you think your stage fright has improved with becoming more recognized as an artist and having to do more shows?
Yeah, that helps, because you have false confidence. So people like you before you do anything. Like, you could be about to have a really bad show, but because people hear the song they like, they immediately like, that was amazing. I think the last show that I did last year, it was a pre-record. As soon as we finished the show, everyone was clapping and losing their minds. And I knew that that was a horrible show. I had not done great. And everyone was just like, thank you so much. It was so amazing. Sometimes I think it's just because you know and love the songs, but the performance could have definitely been better. Yeah. I don't know what that question was again, but I got lost.
But that's so good. Just how you're so self-critical. And I think it's the idea of seeing your favorite artist on stage, singing your favorite song to the point where artists don't even have to give an amazing show anymore.
Yeah. That honestly is what happens, which is really cool. But yeah, it doesn't push you or motivate you to grow. You kind of have to want better for yourself.
As an artist doing all of these shows, do you ever go through cardio training or exercises? Because I can imagine you're on stage, you're jumping, you're running around. So do you ever do any exercises?
Do I ever do any physical exercise? I do a lot of physical exercise. I also like do a lot of eating. I also do a lot of vocal training. Yeah, so I do everything. So everything is sporadic. Like, 1 week I'll be super great and I'll run 6Ks the whole week. And then the next week I'm just eating the whole week. So I think sometimes when it comes to performance, we're not in the States. We don't have a big setup or a big whatever. Like, it really just is you going on stage and having fun. I rehearse with my band at least once a week. And I think that's as far as it goes. I think the most important physical thing that needs to be exercised is the voice. I know someone would disagree with me, but yeah.
I think something that we both need to add onto our resolutions list is being consistent.
Yes, definitely. Like, I could be so much more consistent.
Because this lifestyle of running 6Ks and then eating 6 kgs of cheese, it's not it.
Imagine! Yeah, imagine. And then buying new clothes because, oh my God, my waist is so small now. And then not being able to fit into the new clothes. Honestly, it's a yo-yo.
We briefly spoke about idols, and in that regard, you auditioned twice. And what made you want to go back for a second time?
You know, I got told no. So I took that no as like, okay, cool, I'll show you that you made a mistake. I can't do what you're saying I can't do. So I went back.
You really showed them that they made a mistake because you went on and continued to build this big name and this big brand in music.
Yeah, I definitely tried.
And you recently released an album which is highly anticipated. May you tell us a bit about the creative process that went into making Trouble in Paradise?
Making Trouble in Paradise was so stressful. The creative process was a lot of living. Yeah, a lot of living. It was more living than studio. Like, I think the experience was really what shaped the entire album. And my creative process really was just inspired by things that were happening to me in my personal life. So like I said, a lot of living and experiencing and growing. I think I took 3 years to like live and be a person. I think from when I was 16 in Idols to when I finished college at like about 20, 21, I'd spent so much time working on music and my brand. And then things were really hectic that I spent very little time being a person. So I think in 2019, I threw a festival, and then after the festival I was so exhausted. But then it was 2020 and 2021, so I really spent the 2019, 2020 and 2021 like living, picking up from where I was, because I think as an artist I had progressed so much, but as a person I had so much growth to do. So Trouble in Paradise was really inspired by a lot of living and learning. Yeah. And the creative process is really just that, and then putting it down on a microphone.
The title Trouble in Paradise is a very deep name. You speak about it as being a direct depiction of your life. And with that, what are some challenges that you faced in your career from moving from idols to actually going into the music industry?
I think the main challenge that I faced in idols was, one, I was in matric. Then the next challenge was I was out of matric. So people kind of knew who I was, but I didn't have any songs of my own. So then I realized that I couldn't be a cover artist, because cover artists were not living the life that I wanted to live. They were not creatively expressing themselves. So the biggest challenge was learning to write music. I think I was so blessed to, like, things just fell in my lap. Like, people that I met just kind of came to me and I was able to create. I think I look at a lot of artists these days and I realize that, oh, it's so difficult for them to find a producer or studio time or studio space or equipment or money to afford these things. But I was really blessed to have met the coolest people that were down to work and collaborate. So those are the next challenges for me, is just like figuring out how I put my voice into my own music and not covers anymore. And how do people love me for music I've written, not for an Amy Winehouse cover?
You spoke about you being in matric and also being on Idols. And on the show, do you go back every week, or do they have a dedicated living space that you stay on during the course of the competition?
Yes, definitely a dedicated living space.
After doing so well on Idols at such a young age, how was the reception when you came back into the real world? Was it very affirming? How was that for you?
It was crazy, because you leave like with everyone knowing who you are and just like a lot of eyes on you and a lot of praise and congratulations. But then just a few months later, there's new season and new Idols, and then all of a sudden, like, you know what I mean? People start to like ask you, so what have you done now? You know, what are you doing? Like, Idols was cool, but what's next? And I think that's the challenging part of leaving the competition, is how do you maintain, because Idols is so much exposure. How do you get that exposure without having to be on a TV show? So I think that was the greatest challenge. And I mean, we didn't even really have Instagram or TikTok or Snapchat at the moment. So grabbing people's attention was like Facebook and Twitter, I guess. So that was a real challenge. Yeah.
On the topic of pressure, having such a successful career at such a young age, did that take its toll on you? Did you ever feel pressure to continue making songs from fans or from family members?
Yes, the pressure definitely got to me. What was so beautiful about pressure is pressure makes diamonds, right? The pressure kind of really inspired me to write Back to the Beach. And then Back to the Beach was my first song on radio, and that song ended up relieving the pressure. So such a catch-22 about how, you know, the thing that put
me under pressure was also the thing that released the pressure, because I spoke about it and I contextualized it in a song and people really liked the song, and all of a sudden the ball started rolling. So yeah,
let's take it back to the beach.
Exactly.
I love that song so much. And is that song just about the pressure? What does going back to the beach mean?
So going back to the beach is really like going back to your childhood, like when you would just play on the beach and make sandcastles and not really have the pressure of the city, you know. And I think I was living in Joburg, and that's why, you know, the hook, we say the city don't feel good no more, because the city didn't feel good. It was too much pressure. It was very adulty. There was all these expectations. And obviously when you're from a coastal town, when you're a Durban girl or a Cape Town girl or a PE girl, you know, coastal people, I think, relate to the song the most. And maybe even non-coastal people, because holidays for them might have been to the beach. So really it was just an escape.
That song did so well. And something different about you is your music really evokes emotion. And what goes into your recording and writing process that helps you create music that's very emotive?
I don't know. I don't know if I can answer that. But honestly, just a lot of honesty, trying to be as authentic as I can. People relate to authenticity because everybody's different. And in terms of the recording process, it's just I always have to be in a comfortable space when I record. So most of the things that I've ever recorded have been at home or in somebody else's home. Very limited amounts of people there. Yeah, I don't know.
I think also because you're very authentic, and you get to see that through even this conversation, how you aren't putting on a front, you aren't acting. This is who you really are. Then you go into the booth and make this music that's so true to yourself.
Yeah, I think it gets difficult because eventually you want to impress your audience. But you know, at first it starts off being about you. But I hope that I can always be authentic and always come across that way and not try and be something I'm not, because I think I'd fail at that.
I completely understand you. And another project that you worked on was the Fixtape short films before the release of Trouble in Paradise. May you take us through what that was about and what inspired you to make them?
So the Fixate short film is really just was such a beautiful creative process. I got to work with filmmakers. We recorded the music video on film, shot on Kodak film, created by the same people at Great Euphoria and all sorts of amazing music videos and TV shows. But that's just the glitz and glam about it. But the Fixate short film is really just the beginning of the album and explaining Trouble in Paradise and really just showing people, like, letting go of old self and, like, moving on to phase of life. And yeah, it's really beautiful.
You've had such a successful career and you've done so many of these other projects. You've had songs that went on to be streamed for a long time. In that regard, is there still anything that you really want to achieve in the music industry or that you think you haven't achieved yet?
Oh my gosh, so much. Not even like a bucket, like a JoJo tank worth of things that I still want to achieve. So many things. And I think that's the beauty of being a creative, is that you don't limit yourself. You don't put yourself in a box. You get to travel, you know what I mean? And not physically travel, but like you get to travel whatever it is that's in your heart. And at the moment, there's many different things other than making music, creating spaces. There are lots more things I want to achieve.
I really love that for you. And I can't wait to see your name continue to grow and for you to continue building yourself up as an artist. And what can fans expect from you this year?
This year is going to be beautiful, 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 beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. I think there's so much to expect. There's so much to expect. I don't want to give anything away. I think if you follow me on social media at Shekhana D on Twitter, Instagram, and www.shekhanad.com, we are so much in communication with everyone. We send out a newsletter when we can, but we usually do. But just keep in touch and keep watching what's going on. Like, a lot of stuff is happening and it's all slowly unfolding. I am doing something really huge at the moment, but yeah, I don't want to give too much of it away. I just would love everyone to just engage and figure it out as we go along.
I'm getting so happy just hearing you talk about it, and we can't wait to see you achieve it all. And on the podcast, we have a signature question, which is, what does happiness mean to you? So today, Shekhana, what does happiness mean to you?
What does happiness mean to me? Happiness means everything to me. It means being in a space of peace and acceptance in myself and in the world around me, no matter what the situation or the condition, whether things are good or whether things are bad. And it's really something that comes from within. My gran would say happiness is the Lord, love. But happiness is definitely just the peace within me and outside of me.
That's such a fascinating perspective that you have on happiness. happiness, about happiness just being peace. With that, I'll just like to say thank you so much for joining us on the Morning Muse today. We had an amazing time and we wish you the best in all your endeavors.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an honor and I can't wait to see what you guys are up to next.
Thank you for listening to the Morning Muse. See you next week.